May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 804. Ye lambs of Christ's fold, ye weaklings in faith, who long to lay hold on life by his death, who fain would believe him and in your best room would gladly receive him, but fear to presume. Hymn 804.
Thank you. We will turn for our reading to the Gospel according to St. John, and we'll read three portions. Firstly, in John chapter 1, as we'll read from verse 35. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation, "a stone." The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, "We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And he saith unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." We'll secondly turn to chapter 12 in John's Gospel, and we'll there read the first 22 verses. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odour of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Lastly, we will turn to the 20th chapter in the Gospel of John, and we'll read from verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. May God bless the reading from his word, and now help us in prayer. O thou great and merciful Almighty God, we pray for grace to come before thee in prayer. We come, Lord, as felt sinners before thee. We have to acknowledge that in us, in our flesh, there dwells no good thing. We have to confess once more before thee, O Lord, the sins, the wanderings, the backslidings of heart and mind and word and deed of this another day. We do pray that thou help us, poor sinners, as we gather here. And we can only come pleading one thing, and that is that shed blood, the atonement of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we plead that through his blessed name, our sins may be all forgiven. And we pray our hearts, which are a den of iniquity by nature, may be cleansed from all unrighteousness. Or we plead that precious fountain opened for sin and uncleanness, a fountain we read of cleanseth from all sin. And we do pray, Lord Jesus, plunge us in that fountain, make us whiter than snow. So we come, Lord, as sinners before thee. Yet we do pray that we may be led, Lord, by faith to the Lamb of God. Oh, we do pray that thou give that grain of precious faith this evening to us, that we may be able to look up, that we may be able to see Jesus. And Lord, we do pray that there may be that power then to poor sinners, Lord, to rise up. There may be, Lord, encouragement. There may be comfort for sinners. And we do pray that the poor may have the gospel preached to them. Those who have nothing to pay. Those who haven't got one mite of righteousness and goodness that they can bring to thee. Or we do pray, Lord, that we may realise that mercy is free. All's the Lamb's. Thou hast done everything for us. And Lord, then to come to thee for grace and mercy and righteousness. Oh, come then, Lord Jesus, to us this evening. And we do pray that thou meet with us, it could be thy will, around the precious word of thy truth. Help us to esteem thy precious word, Lord, better than our necessary food. For thou hast said, it is not by bread only that we live, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of thee, Lord. And Lord, we do realise this is so true. Truly, Lord Jesus, upon thee and in thee we live, move and have our being. Lord, that is true, not only naturally, but of a spiritual nature. And how we need that living bread. Oh, we do then ask, Lord, feed our souls, we pray this evening. Do not send any empty away. And Lord, we do pray for those gathered. We pray for them in whatever circumstances they may be found in. May they be helped. May they be helped in their family scenes. May they be helped in their business concerns. May they be helped in health matters. May they especially be helped in their soul's need. And we do, Lord, pray then that thou hast helped any who may be in particular need at this time. Remember friends who may not be able to be here. And we remember one away at a long distance, Lord, be mindful of him and give him thy safe care and protection and bring him back again. And Lord, we pray for each who may not be here through illness and other things detaining them. Remember them where they are. And O Lord, we do pray that thou shine thy love and thy light and thy grace and thy truth into this cause, and we do pray that thy word may be blessed. May it yet go forth with power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, and may the work of thy kingdom spring up here. May it be with many here how sweet the name of Jesus sounds. Be mindful then, Lord, of the gathering together here and the gatherings up and down our land. Oh, we do pray for lovely Mount Zion. We pray for thy saints. God, be merciful. Oh, we do pray, send out thy light and thy truth. May that light of the truth lead us to thy tabernacle, even to thy holy hill. We may go and worship and pray and praise as the psalmist speaks at thine altar. O Lord Jesus, thou thyself and thy sacrifice is the Christian's altar, and in the Hebrews, Paul speaks of this, that we have an altar. We Christians have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Oh, we do pray that we may be led then, Lord, to the altar of our Lord Jesus. And that there may be true worship, Lord, this evening. True worship as we gather week by week. And we pray, Lord, that the light of the gospel may yet to spring up, and that thou bless this country of ours. And cause, Lord, that thou hast overturn the powers of darkness, and build up and establish the kingdom of thy own dear Son. We do particularly lift up prayers for those who rule over us. We would remember also our royal house, our king who shortly is to be crowned. O God, be merciful to him and the royal house. And we do pray, as we are instructed to pray, Lord, for all in authority over us, and we pray for their salvation. And we ask also that they may be given wisdom in all things. O Lord, we pray that thou remember thy people in all parts of the earth, and those places where there is war at this time. Do remember those lands, and remember, Lord, thy people wherever they might be, places of danger and suffering. But Lord, we come then before thee this evening to seek thy face, desiring, Lord, that there may be something for the good and profit of our souls. Could it be thy will to be our leader, counsellor, preacher this evening? Guide us into all truth and teach us. May one be helped in speaking, and thou hast guide in speaking, and that thou hast give us those ears to hear and those hearts to receive thy word. And we do pray thy good spirit may so take of those things of Jesus and reveal them unto us. We do pray, Lord, that we may be helped, and that we may fill, Lord, thy presence with us, and spend an hour with thee. We, Lord, are not worthy of the least of thy mercies, thou knowest. Yet in all our askings we do have that wonderful name to plead, or the name of the sinner's friend, that name of Jesus. And we ask for his dear name's sake that thou rememberest here, and come, Lord, to our help. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 247, 247. O Lord, I would delight in thee, and on thy care depend. To thee in every trouble flee, my best, my only friend. Hymn 247.
with the Lord's help this evening, we will turn to John's Gospel, chapter 12, and to verses 20 to 22. John 12, verses 20 to 22. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. These same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. We have in these last chapters of John's Gospel the week leading up to the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus. And these Greeks in our text were coming from afar for the worship of the Passover. According as it is written in the prophets, that God's house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, setting forth the greatness of the grace of our God, and that truly was to be manifest more fully in the New Testament times, in that every nation, kindred, tribe and tongue, there will be a people that loved and served him. These Greeks came. They came to worship. But they came also with an even better desire, for they came that they might see Jesus. And no doubt the fame of Jesus had spread abroad. Jesus himself testified that the things he had not done in a corner. He had declared his Father's will, his good will toward men. He had preached the gospel concerning himself, and he had been that one who had done good, healing all that had need of healing, and that were oppressed of the devil. They came then with that blessed, wonderful desire, Sir, we would see Jesus. Dear friends, it is the desire, isn't it, of the righteous, the desire of the upright heart, and it is certainly expressive of the desire of the new man of grace. If ever God Almighty has given us a new heart, it can be summed up in this desire: we would see Jesus. And you see, it is only God who can make Jesus that one thing needful, and who can make him attractive to our hearts. For Isaiah tells us in that there is no beauty in him that we should desire him. His visage was marred more than any man's, and he is a man despised and rejected of men, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Yes, and he says we hid our faces from him. But you know, if we're blessed with any measure of living faith, even just a grain of faith, that faith will, even in the want of Jesus, make him precious. For unto you that believe, He is precious. My dear friends, you do not have to, as it were, find him to the satisfaction of your soul to believe that truth, that he is precious. You may believe it in the want of it. And come, you see, like these Greeks, we would see Jesus. Now, Jesus, he is that one thing needful. And, dear friends, why is he needed? Well, it is simply this. He is the Saviour of sinners. And his very name, Jesus, declares this to us. As we read in the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, and his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. My dear friends, Jesus is only truly attractive spiritually to sinners, sensible sinners, those who realize they have no righteousness, they who realize that they cannot make amends for sins past, present, or to come, that by no means can they pay for the redemption of their soul. And yet, they realize that their case may be met in one blessed person and one blessed work, even that of Jesus. Because they see in him the Holy One. They see in him, the Lord, their righteousness. They see in his life something that they could not live, and yet what they desired to be imputed to them. And, oh, they realize that their sins are so great, they cannot pay the debt of their sin. And yet they realize that precious blood of Jesus does cleanse from all sin. My dear friends, it's in the want of these things and need of these things that you would see Jesus. And truly, in his very person, Jesus is wonderful. Indeed, he cannot be searched out. You see, we read concerning Manoah and his wife when they inquired of the angel of his name. Wherefore askest thou, seeing it is secret, the margin wonderful? You know that is the Saviour, isn't it? Who can explain that blessed mystery, which is the mystery of all godliness, God manifest in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us? You cannot explain it, reason cannot understand it, but faith would see it and believe it, and does believe it. They believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the Blessed, that he is the bread from heaven, the Son of God, with power to save. Well, it is to catch a sight of him, isn't it? And it is to know him. That is the desire before us here of these Greeks, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Now, Jesus is set before us in the Word of God, in the Gospel of his grace. We are so favoured, aren't we, to have the written testimony before us, of which we read, "These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God." But you know, we really do need God Almighty to send out his light and his truth to bring us to the knowledge of Jesus. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. We know our want of that I salve, don't we? Often as we come to his word. You see, we're so dark and blind by nature that though we may read of him, we cannot see him. Our minds and hearts are so black. And therefore, you see, there is a need of God's help in this. The need of the Holy Spirit's help so that we might see him. And we have to pray with the disciples, "Lord, increase our faith." Jesus, we have to pray, "Jesus, reveal thyself to me." And I say that is the work of the Spirit, who does not speak of himself, but what he hears of Christ, that he brings, and he shall receive of mine, says Jesus, and reveal it unto you. Well, you who seek will find, and you who come with this desire before God will not be disappointed, for he has not said unto the seed of Jacob, "Seek ye me in vain." Jesus encourages in this himself. He said, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Dear friends, if you find Jesus, you find that pearl of great price, you lay hold on eternal life. And that which is in our text is the answer to all your questions. It is the remedy to your every malady. For catch a glimpse of him, the Saviour, and crooked things are put straight, and rough places are made plain. So we would see Jesus. Now, I say this is the desire of the righteous, it's the desire of grace. And you see how the Lord's beloved people will be those who are drawn to Christ. Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." And that none come to Christ except the Father draw. Well, is that there that drawing then to him? We have to confess, of course, our old natures would be anything other than this. And we read that Christ himself said, concerning our natural state, dwelling in darkness, we hate to come to the light. We hate to come to the light, lest our deeds be reproved. But you know, such is the need of God's people. And such is that desire to be right, they will come. Even if that light reproves them. We would see Jesus. Now, you will notice how they came to Philip. And you'll notice after this desire expressed, we would see Jesus, how Philip comes to Andrew, and Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. It was God's appointed way. These were Christ's witnesses. These were his instruments. And Jesus has his servants. Jesus has his means. And you see this truth in that opening chapter we read of how the both Andrew and Philip were instrumental in the bringing of others to see Jesus. For we read of Andrew finding his brother Simon Peter. We find Philip finding Nathanael. And saying this, come and see. You see, Nathanael says, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. And I say again, Andrew with Simon Peter, he said, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. We would see Jesus. Now, the Lord has his instruments. And Philip, Andrew were witnesses. What can it be said of us, dear friends? And can men take knowledge of us that we have been with Jesus? And indeed, as regards us, do men see Jesus? Because the point is this, that it's not always so. And we do not always see Jesus. No, not in ourselves. No, not in the brethren. Not all times. And you see, this desire then not only speaks of the blessed gospel wherein we would see Jesus, but also in the grace of our Lord Jesus. That where sin has abounded, grace may much more abound. For we would see the grace of our Lord Jesus. We would see the love of Jesus, the meekness of Jesus, the patience of Jesus, the goodness of Jesus. We would see Jesus in the hearts and lives of sinners. And I think, dear friends, if we really are found as these Greeks, saying we would see Jesus, we would desire to see him in this sin-cursed world. As we look to the right hand and the left, we see so much of Satan's work, Satan's image. Jesus spoke to the Jews in general. He told them they were of their father the devil. And their father's works they did. Yes, two marks of Satan's image is this: murder, lies. Satan has been a murderer from the beginning. He's the father of it. Yes, he goes about to destroy men's lives. That's his image. And another one, lies. The father of lies. He who lied from the beginning, who turned the truth into a lie for our first parents, telling them they would not die. And dear friends, you see, anything that speaks against Christ, against the gospel of his grace, against his blessed word and person, is a lie. And the solemn thing is, this world is full of lies. And as we look to the left hand and to the right, we do see much of Satan's image. Yet, God's people will pray, and they will ask God that Christ's kingdom might come, that God will pull down the strongholds of Satan and build up the kingdom of his own beloved Son. And we have promises in the scriptures concerning this. The knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That King Jesus will reign where'er the sun does its successive journeys run. That he will have a people in all nations, kindreds, tribes and tongues. And that his precious word will be proclaimed to the end of the world in all nations. What a glorious truth that is, and how we desire to see it. And there is that desire in God's people for the furtherance of the gospel, because they know that it's only the knowledge of Jesus that will turn this world from darkness to light. And they know it is only the knowledge of Jesus that can turn their own heart from darkness into light. There is nothing else. And Jesus spoke of himself, even later on in this chapter, as the light of the world. And he said, "He that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." When Jesus was born a babe in Bethlehem, it was proclaimed how he would be that light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. And dear friends, there's many dark places of the world. There were many dark places then, especially in Gentile lands. And there are many dark places still. And yet Jesus still is the light of the world. And this is that light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. All in him is life, and that life is the light of men. Well, we would see Jesus in the grace of Jesus, the kingdom of Jesus. We want to see it, dear friends. We want to see it in ourselves. We want to see it, indeed, in the churches. We want to see it in the world at large. We would see Jesus. And I say regarding the disciples, they did not always show forth the grace of Jesus. You know, we read of James and John at one time, left to a very legal and harsh spirit, saying to Jesus, when they were not received into the city, because it was a city of the Samaritans, and saying, "Shall we ask fire from heaven to come down and consume them?" Jesus said, "You know not what manner of spirit you are of. The Son of Man came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them." Another time when the disciples all debated who should be the greatest. Dear friends, Jesus saw that quarrelling. It was nothing to do with Jesus. And he had to take a little child, you see. And you see, so it becomes little children. That's what we need to be. And he that is greatest, said Jesus, shall be servant of all. We would see Jesus, even in the following chapter 13. What did he do? But after supper, he washed his disciples' feet. And so he left them an example. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. And that means then, surely, if we are in any way to walk as Jesus, it is to take a servant's place, to serve one another, and to do good to one another. Sir, we would see Jesus. Well, the grace of our Lord Jesus, how it has been abundantly plain in the lives of some, hasn't it? Think of the Apostle Paul. We can clearly see what Jesus did in his case. How that man was turned from a lion to a lamb, a destroyer to a disciple. And how he himself saw Jesus, and that sight of Jesus changed him. And having seen the light himself, you see, he couldn't help but be someone so different. The Son of Righteousness had arisen in his life. He had seen the Lord, and it changed everything. And then from there on, you see, he had to suffer with Jesus. And I make that point, dear friends, if we have seen the Lord, if we have seen Jesus, it will change us. And you know, that sight of Jesus is that and that alone which will keep us. When the way is rough, when we are passing through the valleys, you will know what the light is. Yes, in the face of dark temptations, you have seen him. But it becomes solemnly plain, doesn't it? When times of trial come, and the fires prove every man's work, it does become plain, at times, solemnly, there are those that abide in darkness. They do not give their witness that they've ever seen Jesus. John tells us that truth in his epistle, for he speaks concerning the light and darkness. And he says, he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. And he says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. The point is that with some of those that John spoke of, they had never seen the light, not truly. And by that darkness discovered itself. My friends, we need this. And the truth is this, dear friends. Not only, firstly, as I've said, that we desire to see Jesus, but you know the vital necessity of seeing him. we would see Jesus. Now we read in our third reading regarding one who had seen Jesus, Mary Magdalene. Yes, she had seen Jesus. Out of Mary Magdalene, Jesus had cast seven devils. She knew the light of Jesus. She'd know what it was to be oppressed by the devil. She knew what it was to be released. She loved him. And she was first at the grave weeping. But she saw him. And so we read of that lovely account of how Jesus, following his resurrection, appeared and called her by her name, Mary. And he gave her commission to go and tell the disciples. What a favour. What an honour was bestowed upon her, being the first to see him. And truly fulfilled in this, you see, they that seek shall find. They that seek me early shall find me. And she was had a commission to go and tell the disciples. She was commissioned to tell them this, firstly, that she had seen the Lord. And she came with that news and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Dear friends, that is the Lord's will, isn't it? As Jesus said to another, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had mercy upon thee. She had seen the Lord. And you see, she couldn't hide the light. But she must also tell them another thing. Jesus said that he would ascend to his Father and their Father, his God and their God. And there is then again in this, dear friends, another blessed truth for us. Jesus our Lord is risen. Jesus our Lord is ascended. And he lives to carry on our cause in heaven. He lives ever to make intercession for us. And for all you who may come, even this evening with this desire of the Greeks, we would see Jesus. My dear friends, we may witness this. He is alive forevermore. He reigns as the King of Grace, even as a Prince and Saviour, to give repentance unto Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we may also, as we should, as Christ's ambassador, speak of this blessed truth that Jesus spoke of later in this chapter 12 in John's Gospel, that he has been lifted up for sinners, and all who would know mercy are bidden to look to that cross. For Christ said, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Jesus, then, we would testify, dear friends, of as one crucified, one risen and one exalted. All those three blessed things that we have spoken there, all vital for our salvation, our peace and comfort. Well, you see that there were those who had this testimony then. They had seen Jesus. Philip, Andrew, they had seen Jesus. And so they were the means of speaking, revealing him to others. And all that seek then must find. Dear friends, if there may be here this evening those who come burdened with their sins, those who come feelingly dark, there is a prayer, isn't there? Here also that you may pray. We would see Jesus. And whatever need you might have, this is a good prayer. We would see Jesus. The appearing of Jesus, the help of Jesus, the grace of Jesus. But notice also how these Greeks came to worship. This is the sum and substance of worship, isn't it? You know, as we come together for worship, it's not that we might see any man, however gifted he might be. It simply is not that. It's that we would see Jesus, like those on that Transfiguration Mount when they saw no man. No, not those great names there, Moses and Elias. But they saw no man save Jesus only. You know, in all things in the church, in all things in our worship, Paul writing to Colossians says this, that Jesus must have the preeminence. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords. In all things, he must have the preeminence. We don't follow men, past or present. We follow one person, blessed be his name, Jesus. And we need him to be our captain. We need him to be our shepherd. We need this dear Redeemer to go before us. And we need that grace to follow him. For you notice that that was the instruction that Christ gave to those seeking him in the first chapter. It was, follow me. All the way through, dear friends, that is it, isn't it? Follow me. Christ said, whilst you have the light, walk in the light. He says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If you keep him in your eye, you could never go wrong. That was the instruction, wasn't it, of evangelist in the Pilgrim's Progress. It was, do you see yon shining light? Follow that. And truly, dear friends, that is exactly what Jesus has said. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Now, that's not to say that we will not find tribulation and trial. We certainly will. But the point is this, spiritually, though there may be darkness around us, Jesus will be our light, we would see Jesus. Now, if we desire this truly by faith now, we will not be disappointed concerning the sight of him with our very eyes hereafterwards. We have the close of the Bible, the truth of the blessed state of the redeemed. How God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. And there shall be no more curse, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. That is the prospect. It was Job's prospect when he realized his mortality. Worms were surely to destroy his body, and yet with his eyes he would see God. Well, of course, the revelation of Jesus as judge of all the earth at the last day will certainly be a terror to many. Every eye will see him. All the nations of the world will wail because of him. And yet those who have looked for him, he will appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He will appear to their joy, their relief. And that sight will be salvation. My dear friends, then the question is this our desire? We would see Jesus. May it be our desire that we might see Jesus, more of Jesus, for the good of our soul. Oh, more of Jesus in his grace. More of Jesus in the lives of those around us, and that we might see him then, not only by faith now, but in glory. Well, there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. May God bless his word. Amen.
Willing, there'll be a prayer meeting for church members on Friday evening, and Mr. Stephen Hyde is expected to preach next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 182. 182. If ever it could come to pass that sheep of Christ might fall away, my fickle, feeble soul, alas, would fall 1,000 times a day. Were not thy love as firm as free, thou soon wouldst take it, Lord, from me. Hymn 182.
O Lord, do bless thy word of truth to us, we pray. And be with us, we plead, as we have need of thee now and at all times, Lord Jesus. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us each. Amen.